Today's readings are all about faith, about living a faithful life and what that might look like. So today I want to talk about a living faith shaped by prayer. Now, some call a living faith the kind of faith described in the Bible. It can transform your life, enabling you to enjoy a close, personal relationship with God. Faith can offer freedom from the shackles of worry, doubt, and fear. It can bring strength, hope, and wisdom in the face of problems and challenges. Which reminds me of the story of Joey Prusak, a young man who lives in Minnesota and manages the local Dairy Queen. "I was just doing what I thought was right," Prusak said Thursday as he recalled the incident from earlier this month. "I did it without even really thinking about it. 99 out of 100 people would have done the same thing as me." It seems a visually impaired customer had dropped a $20 bill during the September 10th lunch rush. The woman behind him then picked it up. Prusak said he thought the woman who picked up the $20 bill would return it. Instead, she looked at the man, then put the cash in her purse. "I was appalled," Prusak said. "I didn't know what to do or say." Prusak thought for a moment, and when the woman approached the window, he asked her to return the money. But she claimed it was hers. The conversation went back and forth. Finally, Prusak recalled he told the woman, "Please return the $20 or get out of the store, because I'm not going to serve someone as disrespectful as you." Prusak said the woman stormed out and he served the other customers. He then went over to the man eating his sundae and gave him $20 out of his own pocket. Prusak didn't tell anyone about it other than the other employee in the store. Prusak said when he saw what had happened, he just couldn't keep quiet. "I was going to say something no matter what," he said. "If she would have returned the money, then I would have served her." That's a living faith. It gives us the strength and the courage to challenge injustice. Jimmy Carter, in his book, Living Faith, describes a living faith as something unshakable, like a mother's love, something that can't be destroyed by war, the loss of a loved one, lack of success in business, a serious illness, or failure to realize our ambitions. Now, last Friday, in her article, Living Faith, Gratitude Coming from a Bottle of Hairspray, Roxanne Salonen writes of her daughter borrowing her hairspray and promising to return it. "Doubtful, I thought," she wrote. "Still sleepy, I'd begun bemoaning the life of parenting teen girls and how I can never find a hairbrush anymore. It didn't help that my veins were dry of caffeine, allowing stinking thinking to take hold, but then I stopped. You are so fortunate to have two other girls in the house. Suddenly, I was on a different track altogether, owed to a simple twist of thought. What a blessing to have two ladies with whom I can share my life here with me now. A grateful heart can make all the difference. Thanks to the lemons to lemonade pattern my mother modeled throughout my childhood and into the present, I know how to do this. And yet there were years when I lost track of gratitude. With a husband working long hours and energetic little kids that left me depleted, I felt overburdened and became convinced almost everyone else had it a little better than I. Then one day, while driving through immaculately manicured neighborhoods on the way to school, a thought hit me. Every single person living in those perfect-looking homes has some kind of heartache. Yes, I carried a big load, but so did my husband. And how many fellow parents did I know whose spouses traveled a lot, not to mention the few who had no jobs at all? Thank you, God, for what we have. Help me endure it when it gets tough." Pretty profound. You see, Roxanne had learned from her mother how to model a living faith shaped by gratitude. Not one that was varnished or sanitized, but one lived and shaped by hope. The Bible doesn't varnish its heroes or sanitize its sinners. It is a record of real people with real experiences, good, bad, and everywhere in between. Though the time and circumstances varied, these people dealt with frailties, fears, hopes, and desires like those we face throughout life. Knowing that the people of the Bible experience needs and sorrows can comfort and reassure us. Seeing the results of their decisions helps us learn from their choices. When we take the time to listen to someone else's story, like you've listened to two stories this morning, we learn to listen more carefully, to love a little deeper, and to embrace the path of our own conversion into a living and breathing faith. In her book, Atchison Blue, author Judith Valente, you may have heard her on NPR, writes of Sister Tomasita, who explains that conversatio morum refers to a vow specific to Benedictines. Its most common translation is conversion of life. Conversatio, she says, is with us day in and day out. It is only possible with careful listening and profound love, God's love and ours for one another. I don't quite get what this means, but then she tells me something I can grasp. Conversatio also applies to people outside of monastic life, whether married or single. It's a call to listen carefully, to love deeply, and to be willing to change as needed. Almost as an afterthought, she adds, it's a constant conversation with life. I find myself returning to her afterthought even more than her definition. So let me give you a couple of takeaways for this week. Maybe you've always wanted to have a constant conversation with life like Sister Tomasita, or gratitude like Roxanne, or courage in the face of injustice like Joey, but you just don't know where to start. I recently read an article in Huffington Post about Jim Ziolkowski, the writer of Walk in Their Shoes, Can One Person Change the World? Jim is the man behind the organization Build On, which turns inner city teens into community leaders at home and around the world, from the South Bronx in Chicago to Haiti, Senegal, and Nicaragua, and our very own Detroit. He writes of his travels around the world and how the power of his faith, his belief in teamwork, and limitless potential of the human spirit can change the world we live in. I recently heard him interviewed, and he spoke of the four ways we can all have a living faith, and I'd like to share them with you for your own journey of faith. Number one, start with your own family. You don't need to travel around the world. There are isolated and lonely people right in your inner circle. Maybe you have a nephew who needs help getting to school or maybe paying for school. Maybe you have an aunt who needs help getting her oil changed in her car. Number two, and I really like this one, rethink your birthday. Rather than thinking about what we want, we're always making lists about what we want to receive on our birthday, and it's a day we will always remember. What if on that day we gave 8 hours back? What if we gave instead of received? In the article in Huffington Post, Ziolkowski credits Ray Agati, a teenager in his Detroit after-school program. 3 weeks before her 15th birthday, Gaddy's big brother Vandal was killed, shot in the back by an AK-47. She was devastated. She couldn't talk to people, he says. She couldn't come out of her room. When her birthday arrived, she knew she didn't want to throw a party. Instead, she headed to a homeless shelter for veterans and spent the day serving meals and playing board games. An 8-hour stretch that inspired her to become a permanent helper at the facility. How many of us moan and groan about our own birthdays? What if instead it was the day that most inspired you? In Gaddy's case, that one celebration prompted her to complete 700 hours of community service while she was still in high school. 700 hours. The third one, and this is, I think, important for all of us to hear and to really take in, be you. Even the not so chipper you. Where did we get the idea that as helpers, we're always supposed to be happy and pulled together, positive and cheerful at every moment? I can totally relate to this one. I will replay in my mind's eye all those moments that I wasn't my best self, spending all this energy on how I'm less than I want to be, all the while losing sight of the grace God has placed over my life. Jim again speaks of Gaddy. During her first day at the Veterans Center, she tried to smile, to fake her way through it, until several of the men asked her what was the matter. They had been through trauma themselves in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Vietnam, and they could sense that something was wrong. When she told the truth about why she had come, she and the men formed a connection, which helped her as much as them. That's the secret of service, says Zielkowski. It's about both people receiving. What a gift. And number four, start a chain reaction. Feeding and providing shelter is important, he says, but so is teaching and helping others. We can always contribute something, whether it's time or kindness or experience. And then he speaks of Detroit again and the after-school programs where the children are sent to Africa to serve and build schools there. If you teach a child to serve, he says, there's a chain reaction. Gaddy, for example, after volunteering at her local homeless veterans shelter, traveled with Bill Don to Nicaragua to build schools in developing villages. Now she runs her own volunteer programs at college. All told, Zielkowski says, the people she's influenced are in the thousands. Can you imagine that, paying it forward? In the thousands. Such is the power of a living and breathing faith. So let me ask you a question in closing this morning. What does your living faith look like? And may all God's people say, Amen.